Hello, and welcome back to Battle Plan, a spiritual warfare podcast. I'm Steve Hemphill, and our website is active-faith.org. Our goal is to take back territory, expel evil, and heal through spiritual growth. Today, the topic is prayer and scripture are weapons. This Battle Plan episode is one of several in a series on spiritual weapons available to all Christians. I've discovered over 70 weapons in all, so come along for the ride as we evaluate these together and improve your ability to fight Satan's advances on your life. The idea here is to keep adding weapons until what you're praying for begins to happen. You might even think of some I haven't discovered yet, so let this series encourage you to be creative as you make personal progress against your unseen enemies.
Hello, and welcome back to spiritual weapon number 7, prayer plus confession. Now, we've already covered the first 6, prayer, scripture, prayer plus touch, prayer plus fasting, prayer plus watching, and prayer plus oil. And we're ready for number 7, prayer plus confession. Let me start with a story from one of my trips. I went to a small conservative church in North Arkansas to teach spiritual warfare once. And the preacher was a friend of mine. He invited me to come. He printed a bunch of flyers about the event to try to bring in community people. And when I showed up on a Saturday afternoon to set everything up and get ready for being there Sunday morning and the next 4 days, he said, I hate to tell you this, but nobody's picked up any of the flyers to hand out, and they're pretty conservative. I'm afraid they're going to ask you to go home after the first lesson. So I said, okay, well, let's just see what happens. That night, I staked the church and prayed, and they loved it. We had some great ministry opportunities that popped up, some of them quite unusual. Here, the preacher had been there all this time, and none of these had popped up. But after I start talking about spiritual warfare, these things came out. First of all, one deacon's wife asked us to come over to the house during the daytime to stake the home. And it turns out the reason why is because he was abusing her every night when he got off work. We staked the home. He didn't even know it. It stopped that day. The second thing was that one of the other deacon's wives came up to me and started telling me that I had mentioned sexting and that that was wrong and it was a form of pornography and it was evil and ugly and bad and wrong. And she came up and she said, I've been sexting another man in town. And I know it's wrong. I want you to know I'm going to delete his number. Well, you know, I didn't need to know that. She could have done that without telling me, but there's power and there's release and there's healing in confessing it. So that was her way of doing it, was to tell me. The last thing that happened was one little girl who was a sixth grader. Her mom was a single mom. This girl was an only child. She'd always been a great student. She'd always made A's. But she got to sixth grade and got into the math class, and it was hard. Now, let me tell you, my wife taught sixth grade math for many years. It is hard. It's way harder than it was when you and I took it way back in the day. So she flunked a kind of a major test. So she was very embarrassed about that. Her mother had to go meet with the teacher and set up some tutoring and helping her through it. And they came home from that meeting, and the little girl just went in her room and started bawling and crying. And finally she came out and said, Mom, why can't I be normal? She said, what do you mean? Why aren't you normal? She said, I hear voices. And she said, do you hear them in your room at night? Yes, Mom. She said, is that why you quit sleeping in your room? She'd been sleeping on the couch for about 3 months. She said, yes, Mom. And she said, well, Mom, honey, what do the voices say? Sixth grade girl. She said, Mom, the voices say that I'll never amount to anything. I should go ahead and kill myself now. Our children are hearing voices. Do we have any wonder why the suicide rate is as high as it's ever been in every age group? Confession brings healing, and that's what she did there. They staked her home, and things got a lot better. The voices went away. So our 7th weapon is prayer plus confession. Now, the primary verse we go to is James 5:16, New American Standard Version. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. God requires confession. Leviticus 5, verse 5, when you become aware of your guilt in any of these ways, you must confess your sin. In Psalm 66, verse 18, it says, if I had not confessed the sin of my heart, the Lord would not have listened. So refusal to confess hinders your prayers. That's a pretty serious situation. Proverbs 28, 13 says, people who conceal their sins will not prosper. But if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. So refusal to confess prevents prosperity, but willingness to confess brings God's mercy. Very encouraging. Hosea 14, verse 2 says, bring your confessions and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and graciously receive us so that we may offer you our praises. So confession enables restoration. That also teaches confession enables your forgiveness, and confession renews your praise to God. It also says that God rejects praise for those who refuse to confess. It's another serious issue. Psalm 32, verse 3, reiterates that. When I refused to confess my sins, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long. So refusing to confess not only hurts you spiritually, it destroys your body. Psalm 32, verse 5, finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. So this verse teaches confession brings forgiveness and it removes guilt. Daniel 9, verse 20 says, I went on praying and confessing my sin and confessing the sin of my people, pleading with the Lord my God for Jerusalem, his holy mountain. So confession is not only good for the soul, you can confess for yourself and for your nation. We should do that. We could confess the sins our nation has promoted. They promoted homosexuality agenda. They have promoted abortion. We've promoted many sins that disagree with God's word. One other story I want to share with you helps illustrate the power of confession. A friend of mine was reading one of my books and decided that every day he was going to take a little time at the end of each evening and pray for each of his family members by name and the specific issue that family member was facing. So each night he began to do that. And one night, as he began to pray for his son, he got a weird thought in his mind. Now, his son lived at home, even though he was in college. He was saving money. He worked an evening job. So he didn't see his son much except for weekends because he went to work early in the morning and his son worked afternoons and evenings after he got out of class. But he was praying for his son, and they had just been to the Bible bookstore and bought a little cross, a little small cross that would just set out on a table, had a little stand. And as he was praying for his son, he felt like he should urgently go put that cross in his son's bedroom. And he thought, well, that's weird. Why would I do that? What's the purpose of that? And he just kind of sloughed it off. But then as he continued to pray for his son, he got it even a stronger feeling that he should do that. So he said, okay, I'll do it. So he got up and he went and got the cross. He went to his son's room and his son had a little desk where he did his homework there. First, he just set it right in the middle of the desk and started to walk out. And then he said, no, I don't want it to be obvious. I'm going to hide it somewhere. So he picked the cross up and he looked around the room and there was a bookshelf and he decided to pull a book off the bookshelf and stick the cross behind the book and put the book back in to hide it. So it's there. He felt like he'd been obedient, but you couldn't see it. So he goes on and finishes his prayer time, goes to bed, goes to work before 7 in the morning, and a little after 7, his son walked into his office, already dressed and ready for the day. And he said, what are you doing up? He said, Dad, I had to come talk to you. Can I talk to you a minute? He said, well, sure. The son came in his office and shut the door before he sat down across from his dad and began to cry. Just started sobbing. Said, Dad, I'm so sorry. I need your forgiveness. Will you please forgive me? And he got up and went around and sat beside his son and hugged him and said, "Yes, I forgive you. Whatever it is, I forgive you. You're my son. I love you. What's wrong? What did you do?" And he said, "I've been sexting another girl, two other girls. They were sending me pictures of themselves, and I decided to do it too. I knew it was wrong, and I did it anyway." And he said, "Well, son, it's okay. Let's pray and ask God to forgive you too." And they prayed together, and his son was settled down by this time. And he said, "Let me just ask you now, how long has this been going on?" And his son said, "About a year." He said, "A year, a whole year. What made you come in today and confess that?" He said, "I don't know, Dad. When I went in my room last night to go to bed, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't quit thinking about this thing I've been doing, this sex thing. I knew it was wrong, and I didn't sleep all night. I got up early and came to confess it." "What's different about the young man's room?" "Nothing, except there's a cross hidden now behind one of the books. He was obedient, and the cross is a symbol of Jesus and of our salvation available through him." So here's another example of not just prayer plus confession, but also prayer plus touch plus confession plus a symbol that was involved. And again, I encourage you to think about these and find some more weapons and decide what God wants you to do, because God works very uniquely with each person. There was only one burning bush. You know, Moses couldn't say, "Well, tell me about your burning bush, because you're not a real follower of Jehovah God till you've had a burning bush experience." It wasn't like that. And also, Joshua didn't use the formula for tearing down the walls in Jericho on every city. It was a one-time thing. God works uniquely in each of our lives, but his word is always powerful. So Jesus always responded every time he was tempted with a Bible verse, but he didn't use a generic verse. He used a verse that applied to the temptation he was being faced in that moment. That's how you do this. Let's pray about this. Lord, this is another promise from your holy word that I have discounted and overlooked. Please forgive me for minimizing the importance of confession combined with fervent prayer. Remind me that obedience in this produces healing power and wonderful results. Open my mind to accept this and open my eyes to see it fulfilled. Grant me a heart willing to confess my sins and pray in faith with a heart that is ready for the healing that I need so desperately. In Jesus' name, amen. Next time, we're going to cover weapon number 8, spoken truth. Let me just remind you before we leave to keep praying, because prayer works. God loves you and I love you. Have a great day.